Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today we welcome Kathy Kalesha into the Cigar Lounge. Kathy, how are you today?
I am living the dream. I'm doing really good, having a great day. I'm so excited to be in the Cigar Lounge. I've been waiting for this day.
Oh, I am glad you are here, and I'm speaking to you. You're in Las Vegas. What's the weather there?
It's nice. I mean, we think it's cold, but I'm not going to complain about, 40 to 60 degree weather. So,
well, and if you really want to worry about it being cold, let me just warn you that where I am, it is just above freezing and raining.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I can relate. Enjoy the weather. Kathy, would you start off, just tell everybody a little bit about what it is that you do?
So I am primarily a leadership expert because I spent 30 plus years in the hospitality business, and a good amount of that time was spent in leadership. So I help teams, I help individuals be better listeners, connect better with their people, and really just live into their own goals for themselves. So just be a better leader overall.
Very nice. And how long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that for about six years, I guess now, 6 years officially in December.
And how did you get into it?
You know, it's just kind of life happens, right? So I left corporate America in probably December, I think 2009. And I'd been, I'm not as old as I look, which thankfully maybe I'm younger.
You're younger.
I'm older than I look, but people can't see me, but I'm older than I look. And so I left in 2009 and I decided I was just going to take some time off and just figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up, because I'd already had a really successful career in corporate America. And so I had a little mini midlife crisis. And I took a year off and I ended up working, like actually being a personal trainer, teaching classes. And one thing led me to another. And I started coaching in the wellness industry. And then I started looking at this becoming a speaker thing, but it didn't really fit that I would do it on wellness. So I ended up teaching classes to leaders and doing some contract work. And I found I refound my passion for just being a good leader and helping other people become good leaders. So, just how life happens, right? Just one thing happens and it takes you around a journey and then you end up where you are.
And have you been in Las Vegas forever? How did you get there?
Okay. So we moved here when I was 6 years old. I grew up here. So I'm not born and raised, but I'm about as close as native as you can get. And then I left. So now I'm going to age myself. I left when I graduated college in 1985.
Okay.
And I was gone at one point that I had lived away from Vegas longer than I lived here. But then when I moved back in 2009, I, kind of evened the scales. And I've been here since 2009. So my family's all here. I've got one sister that lives in Oakland, but everybody else is here. So it's nice to be home.
And as you have gone through your career, and I guess as you launched into the coaching, speaking world, who would be your biggest mentor and supporter that you had doing that?
Well, so I joined NSA Las Vegas in the Speakers Academy. And so we were immediately given several mentors that helped us through that journey. Judy Morio is the person that mentored me because I had won a little award at NSA Las Vegas. It was the Judy Morio first annual award. And so part of that, she gave coaching. So she asked me, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I'd like to actually get paid to speak, because I was just kind of, toes in the water, didn't know what I was doing. And so she's the one that hooked me up with a contract training company. And so she got me getting paid to speak, and that gave me a ton of stage time. I mean, I was teaching 100 classes a year. My other great mentor is Dr. Jeffrey McGee, and he's a very successful, he does keynotes, but he mostly does consulting and training. And he's he has big clients that he works with for a year, 18 months, and he pours into anybody that will sit and have coffee with him at 7 a.m. He's an amazing mentor. He's a great business person, and he's just so gracious and giving. And I've had a ton of other mentors, honestly, but they're the two that stand out when you ask that question.
And are they, I don't know either of those. Are they speakers or coaches?
Yeah. So Judy Morio she's been in the business probably for 50 plus years. And so she did a lot of speaking, and then she did do a lot of training. And now she does a lot of coaching and mentoring of speakers. Jeffrey McGee, we're actually had a similar start as me, as a lot of really great speakers started out doing contract training. So he started out as a contract trainer, and then he went off on his own, and he has been doing it for, I would guess, like 30 years in total. But the primary part of his business is he does work with like middle-sized privately owned companies. And he mostly consults and teaches them. He has a program he runs them through, but he does a lot of training, a lot of coaching, and then some some keynote speaking. But he's a business expert and a sales expert.
Got it.
Yeah.
And for you personally, what is it that gets you up and out of bed going in the morning?
I think, you know, for me, if one person a day tells me that I gave them hope, then I feel like I've had a great day. Cause when I teach or when I coach and when I speak, I find a lot of people just feel hopeless, and they're at this point where they're just at the edge and they just want to give up and they don't think it's worth it. And if I can just get one person to say, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much. You gave me hope." And I can usually do one a day. Then I feel like that's a reason to keep getting up. And then I have an amazing little cute little dog, and being back in Vegas, I'm close to my nieces and nephews, so I do enjoy the family. But for work, it's spreading hope and letting one person have more hope that they're going to survive their corporate soul sucking job.
Ah, yes, we know those. What resources have you used for marketing and growth that have gotten you where you are today?
So I feel like, you know, it's funny because funny, not funny, that the hardest part of this business is the work you do to make the connections. And so for me, you know, it's making connections with people that I know, leveraging the people in my circle, and then doing the work, you know. And I don't do enough of it, honestly, just like most speakers, but it's filling out the RFPs, making the connections, and doing really good work, you know, for people, you know, showing up and giving them your best, so that it's not so hard to get that second gig. Right. But it's really just about doing the hard stuff that nobody really wants to do, making the phone calls, filling out the RFPs, the calls for speakers, and making connections.
Is most of your work speaking or coaching right now?
Most of it is training right now. So the lion's share, I still do a lot of contract training for several different clients. So most of it is training, and then the rest, the majority is training and speaking and a little bit of coaching, not a lot.
Is your training one-on-one or training on the platform?
Training on the platform.
Okay, so you're speaking to people.
Yes, I'm speaking.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm at. I'm just going to make sure I understand that.
Yeah.
What would you say for you was the biggest mistake or failure you've had in your business?
Oof. You know, so I think early on, it's like the same thing most people do is like, if you build a website, they will come. You know, and it's resisting the hard work, right? Just because you can be really great on the stage and you can have a really great message. You can be very inspirational and you have and I don't have a beautiful website. I have a decent website, but all that does not get you gigs. It does not get you paid. It's making the contacts, doing the work, or, you know, and you have to do it yourself, because as a speaker, nobody's going to sell you like you do. And it is about dropping seeds. Like, you never know when a seed that you planted, like, and it could be a year ago or 18 months ago, all of a sudden now you get a piece of business out of it. So you just have to sometimes trust the process. But I'd say not doing that work up front and just thinking, if I had a website and a one sheet, I would get books. That's not the way it works.
Or as I say, sitting around and waiting for that one little silver bullet someone's going to give you to get you rich. It's just not there, is it?
No.
When you first, like, and not in the contract training stuff, but on your personal side, your own personal goals, what are the biggest challenges you find right now?
You know, for me, I feel like staying motivated to do the work to get, well, staying motivated to make the effort to do the work that I love, right? So I do have, just like everyone, a lot of excuses for not making the phone calls, not filling out the RFPs, not filling out the calls for speakers, not putting content on LinkedIn, you know, because I am very busy in the contract training world. I'm very successful in that area. So it's easy to say, yeah, I worked hard today. You know, I worked 6 hours, 8 hours. So I'll do those posts tomorrow. I'll fill out those RFPs tomorrow. And so I think that's a hard thing is that, and I'd say too, this is that I did work in corporate America for 30 plus years. And so there was a structure around that work. There was always something that had to be done and it made you feel good about doing it. And being an entrepreneur and a professional speaker, I don't know, it doesn't always feel that same warm feeling to accomplish something or check something off the list. It's just a different feeling. So I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
oh, no, I get you. Yeah. I get you 100%. Absolutely. And I guess I'm going to ask you this because I'm curious. You keep repeating about filling out RFPs.
Yeah.
Do you find you're getting good paid work from RFPs?
No.
No. Tell us about what's your RFP landing for you? What are you into?
Well, let's say it's really more calls for speakers is really, I'm kind of, you know, saying the two. So I'm looking for, so I do fill them out for associations.
Okay.
And I focus on associations that are in bit for businesses and industries that is a good fit for me. So my focus right now is service oriented business because I did spend 30 plus years in hospitality. So if I definitely I gravitate towards anything hospitality, travel, tourism, or service based because I know I can speak that language because I spent a ton of years dealing with unruly customers and, you know, front facing, customer facing businesses with impossible goals. So I try to strive towards that. But honestly, because of my leadership experience, it is applicable to pretty much any industry. So when it comes to leadership, what I'm looking for is leaders of leaders. So leaders who have people on their team that they just don't have the time to develop, and they just need somebody else to help lift those people up because it's hard to be a leader and grow leaders.
So your concept when you're doing RFPs or call for speakers with associations, you're actually, I want to say, preparing to go on a fishing expedition to find your real clients.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. And that's a good thing. Just checking.
Yeah.
Now, if you could do your career over again, and I mean your whole career, what would you be doing differently?
You know what? I'm one of those people that don't really look back and have a lot of regrets. But I would say, so as a woman leader, and I'm, you know, 61, right? So I grew up in a time where women didn't use their voice as much. I think I probably, as a younger manager coming up, I probably would have gotten in the driver's seat of my career sooner and been a little bit more kind of thoughtful about where I wanted to end up. Now, I had an amazing career in the hospitality industry. I ended up in corporate roles that really paid off. So I'm not, that's why I say there's no regrets, but there were times during my life when I was younger that I really wasn't in the driver's seat. I would say in the second part, like when I was in the wellness area and the speaking, I think I would have tried to figure out a little bit sooner in that little midlife crisis time of my life, what I really wanted to do. I have no regrets not going back to corporate America. So, but it really is more challenging and harder to be your own boss because we are sometimes the worst boss I've ever had is me. So, and I think that's still something I'm searching for is how do I find a balance between wanting to be successful and not carrying around some of the pressures that we have of being our own bosses because we don't have this safe little place to be in where the paycheck shows up and there's health insurance and everything's covered and it's easy, right? So, I don't know.
So, if you could go back and put your arm around yourself, and give yourself a sentence of advice upon graduating from college, what would you tell yourself?
I think I would say, go follow your own passion. You don't have to do what everybody else told you to do. Do something that's going to make you happy and you're going to be proud of.
Beautiful. What do you think, having been at the game for a long time between corporate America and speaking and everything else, what do you think what do you think are the biggest myths that exist in your industry, speaking, coaching, whatever.
Yeah. So you're speaking and coaching specifically?
I don't care. In your life, your career.
My life. Yeah. So I think that the problem is that we have other people telling us what to go do, right? So we're influenced at a young age of what life should look like. And so you spend the first 15 years of your life, unless you're really informed as a young person, going out and living a life or trying to create a life that somebody else told you what life should look like.
Okay.
Right. And for me, that was my mother. So my mom was married, I'm the oldest of six kids. She didn't go to college, got a high school diploma, got a job, found a guy, got married and started popping children out. So she did not get to go to college. So I actually went and lived my mother's life.
Okay.
So I think it's, that the myth is that nobody really knows, right, what's going to make you happy. And just having a good paycheck and being able to afford a nice car and have a nice home, though, that's not the definition of happiness. And so a lot of people chase that and they compare themselves to everybody else, but then they find out it doesn't matter how much you have, there's always something usually missing if that's what you're prioritizing because somebody else told you that's what you're supposed to do. So I think that's a myth. I'm trying to think of like another myth, but I think that's the most important myth
that's a big one.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about giving up?
No. I mean, I haven't gone back to sleep. What's funny is that I got fired, right, from corporate America. I would have never quit. I'm like, that was the best thing that ever happened to me is that I got fired because I would have stayed. I was always loyal, to my bosses. I'm a baby boomer. So, we stay as long as you can. It's lifetime commitment. And I left one job after 10 years, the next job I got laid off from. And then I did move from Hyatt Hotels in Chicago to Las Vegas only because my family, job fell in my lap. They fired me and I would have never quit. I would have just fought till the end. So I'm not really a quitter. I don't give up. I just keep on going. I'm very optimistic, very positive. Yeah, not a quitter.
Just curious.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, did you tell me once you went to Vegas, you worked at the Mirage, right?
So I worked for MGM Mirage at the time. Now it's MGM Resorts. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's what I'm trying to remember. Somehow I remember that.
Yeah. My sister actually worked at the Mirage. I worked for the corporate office.
Yeah. Okay. But for MGM, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And just the Mirage was always a standard for me. So that's why I said Mirage
as
opposed to MGM. Let me ask you this. What do you have coming up in the Kathy world for next year this year coming that is new and exciting for you?
So for me, my focus is my goal is that, and you can hold me to this, and I know I say this every year, is I'm going to be doing more, talking more about my own topics and what I feel like I was put on this earth to do is just to help leaders really go out and be the best possible leader they can be, knowing that not everybody's going to choose it and not everybody's going to be good at it, right? But my goal is to help individuals and small teams. And that's really what my focus is to find more opportunities for me to work with individuals and small teams to really help them fulfill their own dreams and aspirations to be leaders and to really make work better for people. Because when you look around, people are just really frustrated. They're unhappy. They feel unfulfilled. And if I can help a little bit with that, I will have done my job.
Do you have like a single initiative or something that you are going to start working on right now that'll start moving you further in that direction?
Yes. So I actually, one of my good friends, who's also a cigar peg, Cheryl Green, we actually, for the first time ever, met and did a plan for our business for 2024. And we're really good friends with the Academy together. And so my plan includes holding myself accountable starting January 1 for a certain number of contacts. And I'm going to make connections on LinkedIn because I have you know, I have 30 plus years in business, and I've been on LinkedIn since the day it rolled out, because the company I was working for at the time was getting ready to be sold. I was an early adopter to LinkedIn. So I've been on there for a long time. I have a lot of contacts from hospitality. So my initiative is going to be to start reaching out to people that I knew for decades, reconnect with them, and just see what opportunities are there for me to help them with their businesses, with their teams, and move more out of the contract training and more into doing work that I really have a passion for, which is one-on-one in small teams.
If your business, if you personally, mm-hmm. had 10 times the budget you currently have in your business, what would you spend that budget on?
I would spend money on having somebody help me with my social media and reels, because I do believe these, and I've done a little testing of this, those short little videos that are very personal and get attention, I think that helps people know who you are and what's important to you. So I would invest in somebody to help me with that. I mean, I'm really good at it, but and I think probably have somebody help me with my CRM, because that's just a cluster, you know, because it's hard, you know, it's like, it takes a lot of brain power, and that's something I don't really want to have to think about. And is there anything else? I already have an accountant. So that was the thing I had to get rid of early, because I'm like, I can't do the books. So yeah. I think little things like that, you know, there's some things I really love doing, you know, that makes me, but that's a problem, is we get caught up with the things we really like doing. Yeah. And then it feels good, and it gets, you know, that those good chemicals going in your brain where you feel like you're checking things off the list and it feels good, but it's not really contributing to your business growth.
Well, so, isn't that how many people just keep living?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I see that all the time. Okay, so let me say this. If you had unlimited resources and could go into any business you wanted to tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and losing money would never be a concern, and you were guaranteed to make an income, what business would you go into?
Well, you know what? I think I would actually figure out how to get into something that is nonprofit, that helps us with what I think is the biggest challenge that's going to define the existing boomers and Gen Xers and millennials. And that is, how do we take care of our aging family members?
Okay.
And it's only because my mom is 82 and has Alzheimer's, and there's 6 kids in the family. And we are not prepared for this. And every single thing I learned about leadership has not prepared me for being the oldest child of 6 and what we're dealing with, just, and it's not even bad yet.
Right.
And there's just not enough resources. And this is going to continue to ripple, because the baby boomers, there's a lot of them left, right? Because I'm a baby boomer. I'm 61. She's 82. And Gen X is not a big, you know, generation, but they're next. And we've got to figure this out, because there's not enough resources, not enough talent, not enough knowledge. People don't know what to do. And it's a huge problem, I think, it's what takes us away from what we want to do, right? It takes us away from our families. It takes us away from our businesses. It takes away from helping clients. And it causes a lot of stress on the family members. So I would go solve that problem if I could.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's a noble endeavor. I know somebody else in that business, and I just spoke to her. So it's a serious world out there. Let's go to something. I want to go to something more mundane, which is, what would you consider to be one of your favorite productivity hacks? What do you use to get things done?
So I turn off my notifications, because I am somebody that loves distractions based on my personality style. So I turn off, like, I'll leave the do not disturb on, because I put it on when I'm busy with clients or speaking or teaching. So I will leave the do not disturb on my computer on, which I have a Mac, so everything is Mac. So when you put one do not disturb on, everything is. And then I will give myself like a time, like 20 minutes on this one thing, and I'll just work. And oftentimes when I do that, I will actually work a lot longer, because I cut off all distractions and I give myself a time expectation. And because once I get into something, then I can keep rolling. But it takes me about 15 to 20 minutes to really get my mind wrapped around things. And there is that flow state. I don't remember how many minutes it takes to it, but it's like, I think that helps me get into the flow state where I'm really just in the zone.
And getting things done. Let me ask this as a follow-up to that. What's your best time of day for that kind of productivity? When do you do that normally to get stuff done?
So I'm a like an afternoon person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I always like to know that.
Yeah.
Kathy, if anyone wanted to talk to you from Cigar Peg, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
They can, well, they can find me on LinkedIn. They can email me Kathy, K-A-T-H-I, at Kathy, K-A-T-H-I, speaks.com. Kathy at KathySpeaks.com. K-A-T-H-I. Easy.
Beautiful.
Call me. Can I get my phone number? Do you care?
I don't care. It's up to you. It's a Cigar Peg. I mean, I don't
know.
Yeah,
call me.
This other than us.
Yeah. Here we go. 702-569-2607. 702-569-2607.
That's beautiful. And you know, and you are, by the way, I'll comment as we close out and say, at least I know one person that had that phone number and was in Vegas and ended up calling you, and
yes,
you were there to get him to a hospital in the yes. middle of the night. So
I dropped everything.
You're a trooper. And I won't say who, but it was a member of Cigar Peg, and I know about it. And God bless you for that. So I think that's it. Is there anything that you wanted to tell people that I haven't asked you, or anything you thought, oh my God, I wish you would ask me that?
I really appreciate the Cigar Peg community. And in a weird way, the pandemic is what got me to know everybody better because of the Wednesday calls, which I'm really bad at being on now because I'm super busy on Wednesdays. But I think it's it for me, because I'm weirdly an extrovert, but sometimes introverted. So, you know, you got to make the effort to get to know people when you can, you know, go to the events and say hello to people and get to know them, because it's a great community. The only reason I really have a community with National Speakers Association is because of my local chapter and Cigar Peg, and because I went into leadership. You know, those are the three ways. Yeah, so just...
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, get involved. Yeah.
I greatly thank you for being in the Cigar Lounge, Kathy, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Me too.
It's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you again.
All right, thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Joe.
And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.